prayer quickly this morning, and we'll get right into the Sunday school lesson. Brother Brian, would you open us up in prayer, please?
Father, thank you for allowing us to be here for this Sunday school lesson. Father, we pray that all of our hearts and our ears will be attentive to your words. Father, we ask that you be with this class and all the classes in this church. God, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you very much. We had a good time last week. Last week, we learned that the reason that you're having a tough time is because you're not laying aside your malice and your guile and your hypocrisies and your envies and your evil speakings. You get rid of that stuff, and the Word of God will become alive to you. And that's what we need in this church today, and all churches today need the Word of God to come alive to them. And if the Word of God is alive to them, certainly the church will be alive. If you're feeling tired, if you're feeling down, if you're feeling low, the first thing you need to do is look in a mirror and find out if it's you that's the problem. And if you're not the problem, well, glory to God, get into the Scriptures, start to read them, and I promise you, you will become alive again. Because the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And that is what we need today in these churches, to get back in line and get back to going again. Men need to, just like the government needs to stay out of our lives, we need to stay out of the lives of the Scriptures. We need to get out of the way of God and let God lead us. See, it's the time when the men start to say, you know what, I've got a better idea than God does. That's scary, scary, scary ground. I've got a better idea. You don't have a better idea than God does. Trust me, He's got all the good ideas right with Him. Now, if you look at the second thing, the first thing is the church as an organism of living stones cemented together in Christ's blood to Jesus, who is indeed the living stone. And that was 1 Peter 2, 1 through 8, but we went back into chapter 1 and kind of got a little bit more of that. Then if you look at the second thing, the church as an organism of a royal priesthood under the great and high priest, our Lord Jesus Christ. Now that's in 1 Peter chapter 2, 9 and 10. We'll read that quickly, but I want you to go back again and read kind of where we left off. And we left off with verse 3. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. If we do what we talked about last week and we do those things, if so be, if you do them, if so be, you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. If He keeps us alive and keeps us excited about church and keeps us excited about His Bible, that's the Lord being gracious to us. Even the excitement and the happiness we have is not of our own. It's that the Lord has given it to us. Don't be ashamed of being excited about your Savior. You need to be excited. I can't wait to be standing in line and watch all of us standing there with our shoulders drooped and our mouths turned down when it's time to be accepted into heaven because we have accepted the Lord as our Savior. You think you're going to be standing there that way? I'm going to tell you right now, there's probably going to be Baptist preachers all throughout that line that are going to be shouting that they, yeah, we are here. Amen. So you're going to be shouting right with them. And you won't be ashamed then because everybody's going to be shouting. And we should be excited. If so be, ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. To whom coming is unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Christ, by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, behold, I lay in Sion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Do you know what that word confounded means? Confounded means to be mixed or blended in disorder. If you hold him precious, you won't get mixed up with everything else that's in this world. You won't get messed up and you won't get perplexed and you won't get brought down by everything else that's in this world. Let me explain something to you. In this day and age, there are more counterfeits out there than has ever been before. And these counterfeits that are out there sound good. We're never going to talk about sin. We're never going to do any of these things. We're going to just do what we feel is right. That's counterfeit, brother. That's not what God wants from you. I don't get excited when I see a person stay in their sin and stay in a rut and stay not being able to get out of that life. I get excited when I see a life change through Christ. Yes. I'm going to tell you right now, the greatest thing that ever happened to me is the Lord grabbing a hold of me and turning my life around. I'm fleshly, I'm worldly, I'm a sinful man. Understand, I know all those things. But I also remember what I once was. And that's what gets me excited. Yeah. Yes, I think that we should put our past behind us. But I think we should keep that book on the shelf. And I think we should be able to look at that book from time to time and remember who we were. Because if you can't remember who you were, you get out of sorts with yourself. You get confounded into thinking that you were never once that way. And then you will never let anybody else who is around you be who you used to be. Understand, I want everybody to come. I don't care who they are, what they look like, what they smell like, where they've been, where they're going. I want them to come. I want them, and so does your Lord, by the way. He wants them to come, and that's what makes you excited. That's what that whole excitement is the Lord, His blood still works.
Amen.
And that's what we need to grab a hold of. That's what makes us alive. That's why you're alive today. Because His blood still works. His salvation is still what gets you to heaven. Hasn't changed a bit. And if you can hold on to that, you will not be confounded. It's real easy. For by grace you are saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. That's still the same today. And if you grab a hold of that truth, oh, there's nobody that's going to mess you up. There's nobody's going to say, well, it's that plus baptism. No, no. It's just Jesus Christ. That's all.
Amen.
If you grab a hold of those things, you'll stay alive inside. Let's go on. Unto you, therefore, which believe. Now, listen to this now. Verse 7. How many in here are saved today? Don't raise your hand. I just want you to think with me. If you're saved today, I want you to read this next thing. Unto you, therefore, which believe. That's the saved ones. He is precious. Now, I think of precious as my children are precious to me. I don't have many things that are precious to me, okay? I really don't, but my children are precious to me. My wife is precious to me. My King James Bible is precious to me. My flag is precious to me. Those things, your country should be precious to you. The question is, you know, you can think of things in your life that are precious to you. Is your Savior one of those things? I mean, is He precious to you today? Is He something that you covet, you want to hold on to, you want to grab a hold of no matter what? You know, don't ever mess with my Savior. He's precious to me. Is He precious to you? See, precious kind of transcends some things. Yeah, He's my Savior, but is He precious to you? If you believe, He is supposed to be precious. And if He's precious, you'll become alive, thinking about all the great things that He's done for you. If he's precious to you, that's a wonderful thing. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. Now understand this. We patty cake around with those out there that don't believe this word of God. A lot of times we patty cake with the religions that are out there that don't teach out of this scripture. We patty cake a lot with those that are out there. Well, we're all just children of God. We are not all children of God. We are children of God if we believe in Jesus Christ. I'm going to tell you right now, the religions that are out there that don't teach right down this line, we patty cake with. And we tolerate. And we think it's okay. And understand this, I think as Christians, we take turning the other cheek sometimes a little too literally. There's times in our life when we should stand up for what's right. There's times that we should stand up and say, no, that is not right. I talked to a lady yesterday and she said, this lady is seeking. And she says, I invited in whoever would come and read with me. Well, that's a scary thought. She had the JW sit down with her. She had whoever would come in and sit with her, she would invite in her home. You don't have many people like that anymore, but understand this. If she's getting literature from those folks, she's getting lies.
Yeah.
And you can patty cake with that all you want to, but understand this, and people don't like it when you talk like this, but there are more Catholics getting sent to hell, there are more Jehovah's Witnesses getting sent to hell, there are more Muslims getting sent to hell, there are more people getting sent to hell today because we don't stand up and tell the truth, because they don't never get to hear the truth, because they do that which is right in their own eyes, whatever feels good to them, whatever is good for them, and they are walking around as dead men today because they'll never hear the truth. You say, well, Brother Dave, I just don't think you ought to speak out against the other religions. Then you're not doing your job.
Yeah. Right.
Because we have the truth here. And I'm not saying that you should be obstinate.
Right.
You're not supposed to be obstinate. But when somebody comes to you and says, we're all children of God, that's crazy. Because I'm going to tell you right now, Jesus very meticulously planned out how we get to heaven. And he laid out one foundation for us to be alive. He laid out one way for us to get that life that he so wants us to have.
Yes.
And it's not by anything we can do.
Right.
I've said this a lot of times, but wrap your head around this. The only religion that teaches that you can't do anything to merit going to heaven is the one that comes straight from this word. All the rest of them, every last one, there's works or something you can do to help you get there, and that is a devil's lie, sending you straight to hell dead.
Right.
We patty cake with that a lot. But understand this, you have Catholic friends, and boy, they're probably good people. And I've got Catholic friends that are good people too, but if they believe what they teach, they're not going to heaven. Get that. That is a scary, scary thought. I grew up Lutheran. Lutheran is one small step removed from Catholicism. One small step. And understand this. When I was in that church, we never opened up the script. We never opened up the word of life. Never. I graduated from catechism. I made a mess of that church so quick, they couldn't wait for me to go. I graduated catechism. They gave me a Revised Standard Version. And they sent me out the door. Without the truth. But if I would have stayed believing and the Lord would have never showed me what the truth was, I would have died and went straight to hell. A religious person. If you want to be alive today, understand, you've got to trust in that cornerstone. You've got to trust in the stone that stumbles most people. That brings offense to most people. You've got to trust in Him as your Savior today. In verse 9, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people. Boy, that fits some of us better than it does others, amen? That ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness. Man, do you remember yourself in darkness? Man, there were days when I said to myself, as just a young kid, this can't be what I'm destined for. It just doesn't feel, it feels like I'm not complete. It feels like I'm missing something. And people that are unsaved, if they would be truthful, they're missing something. Oh, there's things that they try to fill that missing void with, but they're never able to do it. They're never able to grab onto that life, the life that we have and are so selfish with. Man, people need us today. They need us to tell them about this life that we have and this life that we take so for granted. Well, you're just weird. You're just Bible thumpers. You're just Jesus lovers. Hey, man, because if you are those things, you've got life.
Yeah.
And how abundant is that life?
Yeah.
I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Not only does He give us life today, friend, He gives us an abundant life. Look at the next one. Number 3, the church as an organism of living bread. Turn to John chapter 6. I'm having fun being alive. I can't even imagine being dead. I would never, ever want to go back. You know, I've never met anybody that's gotten saved and wished they didn't.
Yeah.
Seriously, have you ever met anybody that says, well, I got saved, but I wish I hadn't? Never met a person like that. John chapter 6. We're going to read a little bit more than what they've got here, oddly enough. But we're going to start in verse 47. The Bible says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. Hey, man, that's easy. I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. That life is pretty important, isn't it? I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread which that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. We're going to get Catholic here in a minute. I want you to hold on, okay? And then I'll tell you what it's talking about, because the Bible answers itself. It's really neat how it does that if you just keep reading, okay? The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? We can't be Catholic. We're Jews. Then Jesus said to them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Now, how many know what the transubstantiation is? That's where the holiest of holy priests comes up. And I meant that in a term. And he lays his hands out and he says these great words of nonsense. And what that does, it turns the bread into the flesh of Jesus Christ and turns the wine into his actual blood. How many are showing up for that dinner? Let's have human flesh. Okay? What they do is this. They read these scriptures and they think that that's what they have to do. And that's part of their life. And if they don't do this, if they don't eat that bread and drink that cup, they cannot go to heaven. And by the way, even when they do that, it's just a shooting match whether they get there or not. I mean, how would you like to live that way? I just don't know if I don't walk this way for 10 steps and I'll walk this way for 10 steps. I can't go to heaven. What a crazy life that would be. Not to have faith, not to have liberty, not to have life. That would be a crazy life. I thank God that he kept it simple. Just believe in me. That's all you need. Look what it says. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father has sent me, and I live by my Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. These things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Well, what do you think his disciples are going to say? Jesus, we're supposed to eat you? Okay, well, listen to what he said there. If he was telling you this, you'd be like, what? Many, therefore, of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, doth this offend you? What and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are life. In a spiritual sense, you're supposed to eat your Savior up. In a spiritual sense, you're supposed to drink that blood. Now, what's that mean? Well, let me tell you something. If you eat and you live and you breathe and you eat of your Savior and you get into his word and you try to get him inside of you, you're wanting to pull him in. How do you get things inside of you? You take them in your mouth. You want to take them in your mouth. You want to get that blood and understand what that blood is in here for and drink that and get that inside of you. It's more, I'm telling you right now, being a Christian is more than just coming to church on Sundays. It's more than just reading the scriptures every once in a while. You've got to make him become part of you. That's what he's asking you to do. As a life, he's asking you to become, have him become part of you inside. Man, when you hear about Christ, does your heart patter? Or do you go tired of hearing about your Savior? When you hear about Christ, does it make you want to shout? Or does it make you upset? Make you wish you didn't have church today? I'm sure many of us, after the long holiday weekend, wish we didn't have to come to church. I got to be there because people are going to know I'm missing. And if they're missing, then I'm going to get a call from the preacher. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm surprised more of us don't wear track shoes to church so we can run inside this place. Because this is where you're going to hear about your Savior that's alive.
Yes.
That Savior that loves you and cares about you. That Savior that lived and died and lives for you. What a wonderful Savior we serve. How in the world couldn't we be alive for Him? But there are some of you that believe not. And there could be some of us in this room that believe not. You don't believe that Jesus can do some of the things He's able to do. You don't believe in Jesus Christ. You know of Him, but He's not down in here. That's a scary place to have Him, Christian. I'm glad you have Him up here, and I'm glad you know about Him, but I'm going to tell you right now, you need to have Him here. You need to make Him dwell inside of you. You need to say, Lord, I accept You as my Savior, and You are my all in all. There's nothing I have to offer You that would make this any better. Thank You, Lord, for being alive for me. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray Him. And He said, therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto Me except it were given unto him of My Father. And this next verse is so sad. From that time, many of His disciples went back and walked no more with Him. Man, in churches today, Brother Rod, I've got to believe that there's more of that happening than has ever happened in history. Where you come into church and you hear the preacher say something, and that's just too much. You doggone the Catholics, brother. I'm sick of you dogging on the Catholics. I'm not dogging on the people. I'm dogging on their doctrine. If you think for 1 minute that I don't care about the soul of the Catholic man, you're crazy. I want the Catholic man. Man, Catholics make great Baptists.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you right now, it's not about being a Baptist either. I know I make fun of that. It's not about that. It's about trusting in our Lord and that life He can give you. And what's amazing is we have no problem just being tolerant of everything else that goes on. I'm trying to talk with religion with somebody. And whenever they say, oh, yeah, that's really good.
Yeah,
I agree. You don't agree. How can you sit there and just agree? I'm going to tell you right now, we have a living Savior. And when He gives you these great things and you don't understand them, and sometimes it makes you mad, don't turn back. Because I'm going to tell you right now, if it says it in the King James Bible and the preacher's preaching and he's preaching down the line of the King James Bible, don't turn back. Be not dismayed. You could be getting something that maybe you don't agree with, but hey, you don't have to agree with everything God says, but understand what God says is true. Whether you agree with it or not, whether you trust it or not, God's word is true. He is that living bread. From that time, many disciples went back. Then Jesus said to His closest, He said unto the 12, will He also go away? Then Simon Peter answered Him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life.
Amen.
And we believe and are sure that Thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. And yet there was still one.
Yeah.
Jesus answered them, have not I chosen you 12 and one of you is a devil? He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was that should betray Him, being one of the 12. And what I want you to see about that, and we'll move on to the next one. I want you to see that Judas was one of the 12. This is something that always intrigued me. Judas was not a hated man. Judas was a well-liked man. Judas was a well-trusted man. Judas was the one that carried the money. He was the deacon that came up and grabbed the offering plates. He was the one that held the purse strings, so to speak. They liked Judas. They thought he was okay. And he was the betrayer. In the scriptures, he is the betrayer. Judas, the betrayer. The one that betrayed Jesus. That is the guy. Jesus knew who he was. Can I help you today? Jesus knows who you are. Jesus knows who you are. He knows among his living who is dead. He knows who is alive in this room today. He knows who is dead in this room today. And understand this, Judas was a consummate church member. He was somebody that was well-liked and highly regarded, and yet a betrayer. He knows our hearts. He knows our frame. He knows what you are inside, whether it be living or be dead. Just kind of a warning for those who might want to be a betrayer of Jesus Christ. Number four, John 7, just a few verses over. John 7, the church as an organism of living waters. John 7, 37 and 38. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Many of the people, therefore, when they heard this saying, said, Of a truth, this is the prophet. Others said, This is the Christ. But some said, Shall Christ come out of Galilee? Shall a prophet come out of Windham? Is this possible? How in the world can a smart man as this come out of Galilee? It's amazing how stupid we are. You can amen that. It's amazing how stupid you are and I am. Why in the world do we look at people on the outside and look at where they've come from and look at their backgrounds and say who they can be or who they can't be? It's amazing how quickly we are to judge. He says, it's possible this guy can't be the Christ. Yet he is. Amen. Hath not the scripture said that Christ cometh of the seed of David and out of the town of Bethlehem where David was? So there was a division among the people because of him. There was a division among the people because of where Christ came from. Do you understand that? Let me tell you something, and it hasn't changed a bit. We are divided almost on everything today. No matter what it is, there's a person that believes it's right and there's a person that believes it's wrong. You can tell people that, for by grace you're saved through faith, and they'll say, no way. I love the people that say, this is my final authority. This is my final authority. Here's my problem with that. If this is your final authority, where were the ones you went to before you got to this one? Because this is your final one. You had to search through other ones before you got to the final one. This should be your only authority. I'm dogmatic about it. You say, well, you know, Brother Dave, there's a lot of scriptures out there. No, there is not. No, there is not. You can argue that point all day long, but the truth is we only have one Bible in our language. That's the King James Bible right here. And if you study this, this will lead you to the life that you so desperately want. Yes. And you won't be divided. And you won't think every time we say something out of the scripture, well, that's just not right. You preach against the homosexual crowd, that's just not right. The scripture said it wasn't right. That's my only authority. Take it up with the scriptures. You love to hear a preacher get interviewed on worldly TV. They're bad as politicians. They make everything gray. And a guy will come right out and say, well, what does it take to get to heaven? Well, no, tell him. For by grace he is saved through faith. It's real simple. You trust Christ, you go to heaven. No, no. So that means that people don't trust in Christ, where do they go? They ask the next question. You tell them, to hell.
That's right.
And I'm going to tell you right now, the interviewer would fall right off his chair.
Yeah.
They go to hell. What? What do you mean they go to hell? What do you mean? What do I mean? See, we pussyfoot with hell because we don't want people to think that there's a bad place. There is a bad place. It does exist. It is a place where you go to die forever. You never get out of dying. And Christ doesn't want to bring you to death. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I get so sick and tired of people talking about, well, it's just a new thought with Christ. Hogwash. You've got to realize that you're a sinner before you can get saved.
Yes.
You've got to realize that you're a dirty dog, man. When you're coming to Christ, you're coming as you are, dirty. And by the way, you leave dirty too, but you're just washed through his blood. Because there's never been a day I've been clean here. I'm still dirty, still fleshly. But I've got a life that I just can't explain.
Amen.
And this church has a life that just can't be explained.
Yes.
It's that life that comes from Jesus Christ.
Yes.
The living one that's going to live for eternity. I'm so thankful for that. One more. Let's see if we can get through this next one. Verse 5, actually the fifth one, 2 Corinthians 3, 2 and 3, we've already done this. It talked about the you being his epistle. Do you remember I was talking to you about you being his letter, his love letter? The way you live your life is a letter to people. It tells people about who you are. It tells people about what we believe in, the way you live your life. You go out into the workplace, you don't curse. That's a letter saying I don't curse. You understand that? If you go out in a place and you don't get into that fight that everybody else is getting, that's a letter saying, I am a Christian. And by the way, if you live your lives as a Christian out there, they'll know who you are. They'll know you're a Christian because you're weird. You're a peculiar people. Hey, that's scripture, brother. You're a peculiar people. You're taken off to the side. People get uncomfortable around you. Do you notice that? You say the word, let me tell you about Jesus Christ. It doesn't get more uncomfortable than that for people. I'm going to tell you, who's Jesus Christ? No, the only time I ever say that is when I'm yelling at my kids. I mean, I don't know what you're talking about there. Let me tell you something. Your life means something. We're going to stop right there. I didn't think I was going to go over this again, but I'm not a lifestyle evangelist guy. Your lifestyle is not going to win anybody. But let me understand something. It could get him to the starting gate. The way you live your life could get them to say, man, I might like to think about what he has.
Yeah.
If you live your life badly, it might turn the table and say, you know what? I don't want what he has because he is a hypocrite. Have you ever heard that word in church? But we're loaded with them, okay? You might think, well, our church has not got any hypocrites in it. Every church has hypocrites in it. You saying that makes you a hypocrite. I've been hypocrites on things before. You better believe I have. I've said something and maybe done another. You better believe, and so have you. But understand this. Jesus wants the hypocrites to come as much as he wants anybody else to come.
Right.
And what we've got to grab ourselves and hold on to, Brother Brian, is if we've taken of his flesh and taken of his blood, we ought to take that to people with rivers of flowing water coming out of our belly and letting them know, you know what? It is okay to be a Christian and not be ashamed of who you are. Well, I'm weird. You know what? When you were unsaved, you were weird. You might as well be saved and weird.
Right.
I'm going to tell you right now, we're alive. Sit them shoulders back. We're alive. Get that chest out. We're alive. I'm thankful to be an American. I'm more happy to be a Christian.
Amen.
I don't care what country I'm in, brother. If I'm a Christian, I'm happy. I'm going to heaven someday. There's a day when, God bless, we love that flag, but there's a day when that flag's not going to fly because heaven is a different nation, brother. And we're not going to have to worry about any other governments out there. We're not going to have to worry about drilling for oil. We're not going to have to worry about the currency. We're not going to have to worry about our dollar being weak. We're not going to have to worry about making this an Obama nation. We're not going to have to worry about any of that because Jesus Christ, who is alive, is going to be in charge. And that day, he will set the government upon his shoulders. And say, you know what? I'm in charge.
Amen.
I dare you to mess up now. You had your fun. You had your tolerance. You had your queers. You had all this other time. I'm in charge. And I don't believe Jesus is going to take that lightly. Imagine a life where there's no sin. Imagine a life where there's no evil thoughts, no evil speaking, no motives. You just love life. I'm so thankful that we're alive. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you for this day. I thank you for the time that we had together learning about how alive you are. Lord, I wish that some of these folks would wake you up once in a while and realize how wonderful of a Savior. You know what? In my life, Lord, let me tell you. Lord, I would that I would keep you alive in my life all the time, that there'd never be a time when you even took a nap on me. Lord, I love you. And Lord, I want you to become even more real to me every single day. Lord, I thank you for the wonderful times that we've had, and I'm going to thank you in advance for the wonderful times we're going to have. Lord, bless this country. We're taking it into our hands, and that's a mistake. We're doing things on our own, and that's a mistake. Lord, I would to God that you would turn things in this country back to you the way they once were. Lord, help us. I'm tired of hearing about the bad things. Lord, help us to come around and do the good things, the things that you'd have us to do, because we're a lively stone people, and we should be alive for you. And I pray all these things in Christ's holy name. Amen.